Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. We're here with Blaine Perkins. This is a Pit Pass Network interview. He's the driver of the number 07 for SS Greenlight Racing at the Xfinity Series. And he's not just Blaine Perkins, but he's a birthday boy today. So happy birthday. Let me sing you a happy birthday real quick. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Blaine. Happy birthday to you. Cue the birthday sound effect.
Awesome. Thank you. I
Yeah.
appreciate it.
But doing anything fun today for your birthday?
Not too much today. Probably just hang out with the family this tonight and today and get ready to travel back out to the West Coast on Thursday. So pretty short turnaround this week, but I'm looking forward to get out to Las Vegas this weekend.
Awesome. Yeah. So I guess kind of recap your season so far. How have you felt about it so far?
Yeah, so we're two races in now. Daytona didn't quite go the way we wanted it to, but we showed speed there, and that's really all you can hope for at those places. Sometimes luck just isn't on your side. So going into Fontana, we knew it was going to be a little bit of a tougher racetrack. I've never been there before. That was kind of our first 2 mile experience with the team. Having no practice, qualifying definitely hurt us a little bit as well. But I think just overall getting a clean race in to start the West Coast swing is important. You have to run your same car out of Fontana as well as Las Vegas. So that was a big goal of our team, as well as just trying to learn as much as we can and build for later on in this year, including this weekend in Las Vegas. We feel like we have a lot of really good changes to make for this weekend, and I'm looking forward to really get back behind the wheel here in a few days.
Awesome. Yeah. So you started your racing journey at the age of 10. So what was the moment in your life that drew you into racing? And what was your journey like to get to the point you're at now?
Yeah, so I mean, I've been watching racing my whole life. I didn't come from a racing family, but I came from a family that loved to watch racing. When I was probably 8 or 9 years old, I really started getting pretty heavily involved in indoor go-karting, having a lot of fun with all that. And when I was 10 years old, I got my very first asphalt go-kart. Soon after that, I started racing that a lot at my local track in Bakersfield and also all around California. And from there, kind of graduated to the oval series of like Bandolero Legend Car Racing. And once I turned 14, was able to finally step into a stock car, becoming the youngest winner at your Irwindale in late model, as well as running multiple years in the ARCA slash K&N West now. And having a pretty good year in 2020, as well as then making the move out here to Mooresville, North Carolina, where everything's kind of based out of for NASCAR. And the past 2 years running the truck series full time last year and part time in the Xfinity series, and this year being full time with SS Greenlight and the 07.
Awesome. Yeah. So did a little research of you and saw you were born in the same location, like city and state as Kevin Harvick. So how cool is it that you share the same hometown as a NASCAR Cup Series champion?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, like I said, I've grown up watching racing my whole life there, and the town specifically holds a lot of really good race car drivers as well, and I feel like the town really gets behind race car drivers there, and so I've always grown up looking up to Kevin as kind of like an idol of mine, and it's been cool to be able to get to meet him now, and so it's really cool to see all these things kind of come full circle now I'm back here.
Yeah, speaking of which, who would you say Kyle Harvick was your favorite driver growing up, or do you have another favorite?
I would probably say Kevin's my favorite. My family had a bunch of favorite drivers of their own. Jeff Gordon, of course, was one of those as well. And but I would say Kevin was probably my favorite.
Awesome, yeah. And they also did research of like drivers around your age group that were born in California as well. I have a short list here. I have Zane Smith, Cole Custer, Tyler Reddick, Sheldon Creed, Tyler Ankrum, Haley Deegan, Ryan Vargas, Jack Wood, Lawless Allen, Dean Thomas, and Jesse Love. So during that, or did you ever find yourself racing any of these drivers before entering the NASCAR scene, like during your late model days or any of the other racing series?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say I've probably raced against all of them except
Oh,
maybe
wow.
Tyler Reddick. I grew up with a lot of them as well. Dean Thompson, Lawless Allen, Haley. Zane Smith. I mean, I've been racing against these guys since Legend Cars, Bandoleros. So 10 plus years now, and it's pretty cool to see all of us continue to grow in our careers and to see all of our success and be able to make the move out here. It's definitely not an easy thing to do, but at least being able to do it with some people that you know is pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah. Do you hold like close friendships with a lot of them right now?
Yeah, I would say I'm still pretty close with Lawless Allen, Dean Thompson, Ryan Barr, so that group of people, especially with a lot of people that we kind of work out with. I work out with a group of drivers, and we just try to, I don't know, it makes it a little bit more fun when we're all kind of doing the harsh punishment of workouts that our trainer puts for us. But, and then we can all go to the racetrack and see each other there. So I think racing is just a really big family, and just to have a close group of guys around you is always good.
Yeah, definitely. Like having all those connections is definitely beneficial. So, you mentioned about your workouts. What types of workouts do you do throughout the week and preparing for races?
So a lot of our workouts are endurance based. So any of our strength workouts are kind of long reps, not as much higher weight. Then a lot of cardio work as well as heat training. It obviously gets really hot inside these race cars, so I just got to be prepared for these summer months that are coming, where it's 90 degrees out, 90% humidity for 3 plus hours, especially in those Xfinity cars, probably the hottest cars in NASCAR. So, especially running during the day. So I'm sure there'll be some hot ones this year, but that's what we do all the training for.
Definitely, yeah. So you mentioned the heat. Like, are you more of a summer or winter guy?
I would probably say I'm more of a summer guy. But I'm not a summer guy with humidity. I'm not used to that.
Oh,
I'm from
yeah.
Bakersfield, a dry heat. So coming back here to North Carolina and all these southern states, it's definitely a lot bigger difference. I don't know. I'm not really used to this humidity yet.
Definitely, yeah. So you mentioned your career path a little bit. What was your very first car number?
My very first car number, I think, was 21.
Okay.
That's always been my kind of go-to number. So I don't know if it was my first one or not, but it was definitely the first one I kind of picked and stuck with. Just always been a cool number for me, and I've always enjoyed that one.
Awesome, yeah. So, and then I guess I would say like probably, would you say like one of your first breaks in your racing career was joining the Team Hornaday development program led by four-time Craftsman Truck Series champion Ron Hornaday? Would you say that was one of your first breaks, or what would you say was your
Yeah,
first one?
absolutely. I think working with Ron and Candace has been awesome. It's been great to know them, and especially to see them support me coming from the West Coast. I think they kind of understand how big of a difference it is moving out here and trying to come onto the scene of NASCAR. So I really enjoyed that and appreciate their help with all that. Like you said, being able to work with Ron and all his experience of going to these racetracks that I've never been to. Whether it was even a truck 10, 15 years ago, I mean, it's still huge that I can at least have his knowledge on hand and talk to him pretty frequently, and as well as Candace kind of helping lead in my career as well. So I just definitely very appreciative of them.
And then also, since you like signed with the Hornaday, that's Chevrolet related, so that's been like your go-to manufacturer pretty much your whole career. I've done research, except an exception to 11 starts with Ford in the Arca Menards West, and one start with Toyota in the K&N Pro Series. So what really was your relationship with Chevy mean to you as you progressed throughout your career?
Yeah, I think Chevy's been a really big instrument in my career. I mean, like you said, I've been with them most of my career. And other than that 1 year, maybe, I think that's probably the only time I've never not been in a Chevy. Even from the West Coast and moving out here, I've been with different Chevrolet teams, and I just like the support that they give out, and I feel like it's a good home for me.
Awesome. Do you own a Chevy vehicle like outside the racetrack at your home and town and all that?
I do not. I actually own a BMW.
Okay. That still works though. And then I also did research your history with like your racetrack experience. And there are six racetracks in the Xfinity schedule you're making your NASCAR debut on this season. two ovals and four road courses. I guess I'll touch on the ovals first. So, how do you feel about going to Dover and New Hampshire for the first time?
Yeah, that's some pretty good homework right there. I wasn't sure of the number, but I knew that there was still quite a few that I haven't been to. I think it'll be fun. I've heard a lot of good things about both those racetracks. I really enjoy the shorter tracks, especially mile tracks. So I think it'll be good getting to both of those. I hear Dover's tough. I mean, it's fast, it's high banked, and I'm definitely looking forward to that one for sure this summer.
Awesome. And then the four road courses I found were Portland, Road America, and actually it's five. Portland, Road America, Indy Road Course, Charlotte Road Course, and well, this is gonna be the first for everyone, the Chicago Street. So which are you excited? Which one of those road courses are you most excited for and least excited, I guess?
That's a lot of road courses that I haven't been to, so definitely be a lot of learning in a short amount of time there. I'm looking forward to going to Chicago Street Course for sure. I think that'll be a fun event for everyone, and being in the Xfinity field will be the first kind of guinea pigs out there, so we'll see how the racing is, and it should be fun. I like to see NASCAR taking that step and trying a street course, and hopefully it goes well and we can continue to add them onto the schedule in the future, as well as Road America. It's just a racetrack I've always kind of wanted to go to. It up there in Wisconsin, seems pretty historical up there, and I've had a lot of family that's been going to that race for a long time now, so looking forward to get up there as well.
Awesome. And then I guess the we're touched on track styles a little bit. So which one do you prefer the most? Like suit your best racing style, short tracks, intermediate tracks, super speedways, or road courses? Which one is your best go-to?
I would say if you ask probably everybody, I think everybody starts on short tracks, so that's probably what they're most comfortable with. That's what I enjoy is short track racing at Martinsville, Bristol. I think even going to New Hampshire, Dover, those places I'll really enjoy this year, as well as the super speedway racing. I do enjoy that. It's somewhat luck based at certain times, like it was at Daytona this year, but I still enjoy the pack style of racing and. All the strategy that involves it, that becomes a part of it, as well as the closeness that brings the teams, the level playing field with the restrictor plate. So I also enjoy that. The intermediates I'm still working on. I mean, I think that's the biggest jump when you make it to the NASCAR series is the size of these racetracks that you've really never raced before. So going all these places for probably the second time this year will be really beneficial for me and help take that learning curve out that was there last year for sure, and get into a lot of more of these road courses. I started in go-kart, so I enjoy the road courses, but I don't have a ton of experience so far, and I think I have maybe four starts between the trucks and the Xfinity cars. So again, a lot of learning left there, but I do enjoy the road racing as well.
Yeah, so you mentioned the road or the short tracks is probably you would say is the your go-to right now. And I think one of your biggest moments in your career was last fall, when you got your first career top 10 at Martinsville. Just play me through like what that moment meant to you and all that.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty cool. It's something I've always wanted to do, and to be able to kind of knock that out last year was pretty cool. I really enjoy Martinsville. I love the style of racing there, the beating and banging on one another. Kind of just takes you back to your short track roots. I think that's what the fans love as well. So being able to run up there with those guys, I mean, I think I finished right next to Austin Hill, and Sheldon Creed was up there. A lot of really good race car drivers were up there, and just being able to have that opportunity to run up front. That race was definitely a dream come true, and look forward to doing that more this year. That for sure was up there for moments in my career so far.
Awesome. So yeah, that and then like news or recent news is like the last ever 2 mile track that you guys were just at Auto Club and it's turning to a short track. So are you excited for that change because you like the short tracks?
Yeah, I am. I really enjoy the short track racing, like I said, and I know a lot of people really enjoyed Fontana as well. It's put on some really good racing for Man, it seems like 25 years now. So I mean, I remember going there as a kid and watching races. So it's sad to see a place being reconfigured, but I also understand. And I think, like I said, just changing up the schedule every once in a while. I like to see what NASCAR has been doing these past few years, and it should bring another short track onto the schedule. And hopefully, the race is really good and everybody enjoys the racing there. I think maybe 2024. I'm not sure when it's going to be built yet.
Awesome. Yeah. So, keeping to the topic of short tracks, you experienced the Bristol Dirt Race last year for the first time. Have you had any dirt experience even before that, or was that your first time dirt racing?
Yeah, so that was pretty new to me. I've never really been a big dirt racer in my life. I grew up going and watched dirt races, but I never really got into a dirt car until pretty much that truck race was really one of my first races. I did some testing on, in like a legend car, but completely different animal. And it was fun. It was a struggle at times, but just kind of have to look at it and have fun on the weekend. And I think we finished somewhere around 22nd at Bristol, which looking back wasn't too bad. So, like I said, it was definitely out of my wheelhouse, but it was a good time.
Yeah, only the Cup and Truck Series go to that. Are you sad that you won't be able to do it again this year for Xfinity?
I don't say I'm sad. Like I said, it's something I'm not really used to. I feel like I would do better on asphalt for sure. So, I like to see that maybe not being on our schedule this year, but it was definitely something fun, and I think the fans really enjoy it. So I wouldn't be shocked if maybe the Xfinity series goes there at one point one day. But like I said, it's just another really cool concept that NASCAR created. And after going to Eldora for so many years and being able to go to Knoxville and Bristol Dirt, so I think it's just another element to add to the NASCAR schedule that seems to be working out so far.
Yeah, what would you think of NASCAR throwing it back to like Daytona Beach races? Like, what would you think of that?
That would be interesting, and I'm not sure how that would work out, but I'm sure that if you get enough minds in the right room, then you could see it happen for sure. Like I said, I'm kind of open to anything at this point. I really enjoy kind of the changing schedules, the new racetracks, and so at this point, I'm open for anything.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess we'll stay at the topic with tracks and different types of tracks. So what would you say is your favorite short track, favorite intermediate, favorite super speedway, and favorite road course you've done so far, or you're going to do in the future?
Gotcha. I would probably have to go with Talladega being my favorite super speedway. I enjoy them both, but I seem to have had a little bit more success at Talladega in the past, a little bit more luck, I guess. But also, I just really enjoy the crowd there and the party atmosphere. It's so cool seeing all the fans there and having a great time over the weekend. So I really enjoy that race as well as Martinsville. It's a close home, pretty much a home race for us, about 2 hours away from Mooresville. And like I said, I really enjoy that short track racing, that beating and banging. Intermediate, I'm trying to think here. I really enjoyed Miami. Miami was a really fun racetrack, as well as Las Vegas is another really fun racetrack for me. I've been to a couple times now, so I'm looking forward to getting there this weekend. And then road course, I would probably have to go with Sonoma as for right now. I'm probably most comfortable there. I've raced there maybe 3 or 4 times now, so. Plus, it being out in California is always a good bonus for me.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I feel like there's probably out of every state in the US, there's probably the most tracks in probably California or like Virginia maybe, or I'm just trying to think off the top of my head, but it's probably one of the most popular California, I would say.
Definitely up there, and it produces a lot of really good race car drivers too. So I think it's probably a lot of home tracks for, I don't know, I would probably say 5 to 10 drivers in each series.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Kyle Larson's one of them, top of my head in the Cup Series. Jimmie Johnson, Jeff Gordon, all those people. So you have a teammate, or you have a new teammate this season, Greg Gaulding, he's been a veteran in the series, in the NASCAR overall, the top three series, combining a total of 148 career starts throughout the top three series of NASCAR. So how beneficial is it for you to have a teammate with that much on-track experience to like be a guide and mentor for you?
Yeah, I think it's big. Like I said, I'm still relatively new back here. I think my starts are probably around maybe the 35 to 40 mark. So I've still got a lot to learn, and being able to kind of bounce some ideas off of Gray has been really cool. I really enjoy working with him this year, and obviously last year I didn't have a teammate in the truck, so that's kind of a new experience being able to build setups with a teammate. And looking forward to, like I said, just kind of working with him throughout the year and his crew chief as well as my crew chief, kind of working together, and just try to create the best results for the team. I think that's obviously goal number one. And as long as we're getting better each and every week, I think that's the right direction we're heading.
Speaking of, you mentioned working with crew chiefs. Your crew chief this season is Mike Hillman Sr., and he's an established crew chief over the years. He's had over 500 NASCAR starts throughout the top three series since the year 1988, with four Xfinity wins and two truck wins. So how impactful is it to have someone on top of the pit box with that much knowledge and experience?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's huge. One of the reasons why I ended up going with him for sure was his experience. And I think him being able to work with me as a rookie is not a big deal. He's worked with a lot of rookie drivers, I think, over the past. And just like I said, I knew there was going to be some learning involved this year, and having a veteran presence on top of the box is really important. And someone that understands that can really help break down certain things about the car and help me understand more of what I'm feeling is going to be crucial this year. And like I said, trying to build those setups. So we know that we have to continue to get better each and every week. And that's what I'm looking forward to be doing with him and Gray and Jason, the other crew chief as well. So I think as long as we keep working as a good team, as we have these past two races now, and which I don't see any problem with at this point. So we can just continue to keep working together as a team and getting the best results for us as Greenlight as a whole.
Awesome, definitely. And you mentioned spotters. Who's your spotter this year?
My spotter this year is Eric Holmes, well-known race car driver from the West Coast and spotter now. I've known Eric for probably 10 years now. So having that trust with him up top is really crucial, as well as I've always enjoyed having kind of that driver's mindset on top of everything, overlooking from the spotter stand. So we've worked together now two times, and I really enjoyed working with him, and I think it'll be a really good year to work with him.
If I may not be right, but is Eric Holmes, is he a California boy as well, or is he some other state? Am I right with that, or?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know exactly if he was born there, but I do know he used to live there for quite some time.
So that's pretty nice having that connection. So I guess what would you say is your pre-race like routine, I would say, or like what's your usually go-to thing you do?
I don't really have any superstitions or anything like that. I would just say that I try to meet with my crew chief a little bit beforehand, maybe an hour before the race, and kind of go over any strategy or any curveballs that may not happen. Obviously, with the stage racing, it introduces some different types of strategy. So just trying to understand exactly what we might do in certain situations. And then as far as getting in before the car, I don't do anything different, or I don't do anything in order or anything like that. I just kind of hop in, and once I kind of get in the car is when I'm at peace and at my work and in my office. So that's when I can kind of zone in and really start to focus on what's ahead.
So everyone like in the Xfinity field right now, who would you say is the one you hang out the most, like outside the racetrack, you would say?
That's a good question. I would probably say my teammate right now. I've gotten to know him over the past maybe month or so, and right now we're so busy with the West Coast swing and getting the cars ready for before the year. Been pretty much every day at the shop I've been seeing him. So outside of that, we haven't had much time to do much together. I know his birthday was a little while ago. I ended up going that night, and that was fun, kind of having some team guys go there as well and just kind of bond a little bit. And obviously my birthday's today, so I'm sure we'll hang out at some point this week, maybe later in Vegas, do something. But outside of that, there hasn't been that much time to be doing much else, so I haven't really gotten to hang out with a lot of other drivers so far.
So going back in your childhood, I know you started racing at the age of 10, but before or after, did you try any other sports like during your childhood time, or is it all racing?
No, I did a lot of different sports. I grew up kind of playing soccer. I played flag football for my school. I played baseball at one point. So I've always enjoyed sports. I still follow sports pretty heavily. Also played basketball for my school. So it's something I've always enjoyed, but it was definitely when I got in the race cars when I realized, hey, this is what I want to do. I wasn't very good at those other sports, but they were a fun time to play. And once I got in that behind the wheel of that race car, I knew that this was something I could really make a career out of, and I wanted to pursue heavily.
Yeah, I'm curious. You mentioned you're a basketball player. I'm a big basketball fan. So, what was your what position did you play, and what was your jersey number?
So jersey number, I don't remember. I don't think we were allowed to pick back then. If I would have picked 21 had I got that choice, I don't really remember what it was though. This was probably sixth, seventh, eighth grade. I played a lot of center. I'm pretty tall. I'm about 6'3", 6'4". So for our small little school, that was kind of the position I played. But like I said, I was never that great. I just had a lot of fun doing it with some buddies, and it was just a good time to do something after school.
Then what was your like your specialty? Was it like rebounding, 3-point shooting, or free throw? Or like what was your greatest strength in basketball?
I wish I could say it was my shooting, but it probably wasn't. It was probably being tall. So I think rebounding and maybe a little bit of defense was probably my best attributes as a basketball player.
Were you able to dunk at all?
No, not at all. Not even close. Not even today. I was maybe 6 foot tall and around then, but not even close. If I
So
was able to touch the net, I was happy.
did you do it like during middle school and high school?
Yeah, I did it through elementary school to middle school. Yeah, once I went to high school, I ended up having to go online for racing, and no more sports at that point.
So speaking of the education area, so on your website that you are currently enrolled in Pepperdine University, majoring in business management. How do you balance both racing and your education?
Yeah, that was something that's really been important to me over my lifetime. Was I've always been taught that school is first and racing was number two growing up. And when I turned 18, I ended up going to my local community college while I was running late models and running for championships back home. I was able to kind of go to community college, got my degree from there, and from there I was able to transfer to Pepperdine, and had. I think it was 2020 was my first semester there, COVID year. So that was a little bit of a bummer. But after that, I think I took two full semesters there, and then I ended up moving back here. So right now I'm not in school currently enrolled, but I'm still technically a junior there. And if I ever do move out back west, I would definitely want to pick that back up.
What drew you in the business area?
I just felt like it was something that really made sense for racing, the marketing side of business, as well as anything I want to do in my future. I think it's broad enough to where I think at any point you're going to really need to use marketing skills and business skills. So that was just the one thing that kind of stood out for me.
I guess after you're done. You said you're really young, you're 23, but after you're done racing, with that business degree you're going for, are you thinking about doing anything NASCAR related, or what are you thinking with that?
Honestly, I'm not too sure right now. I love the NASCAR industry, so yeah, if I could figure something out along those lines, I would be all for it. I'm obviously living back here in North Carolina right now, and that's kind of within this little 30, 40, 50-mile radius here. That's all you hear about is racing, and everybody's involved in different types of motorsport. And so I think if I could be able to figure out a way to get that all figured out, if it comes down to it. Obviously, goal number one right now is to be behind the seat and Just do all the things right that I can to make sure I'm still behind there for years to come.
So we mentioned about your hometown earlier, Bakersfield, and now Harvick is from there as well. Have you had a conversation with him before?
I have. I actually got a race with him the first time, probably in 2015 at Sonoma in a Canaan race. That was pretty cool. I didn't meet him until probably last year, though, when I moved back here and being with the Hornadays, they introduced me as well. So, just kind of being able to meet Kevin was a really cool experience, as well as just talk to him a little bit about the different racetracks. I think it was at Sonoma last year is where I really got to kind of, I had met him before, but to be able to really talk to him and hear all his different philosophies behind the wheel of a race car and just seen any ways that, like I said, I was just trying to take in all the knowledge I could from him and apply it any way I can.
I'm assuming it's you're probably pretty bummed that he's retiring this year, you would say.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously tough to see the sport lose some really good drivers, but I know he's really focused on Keelan and Piper right now, and Keelan's starting racing, and Piper's I know she's been getting a lot of different things as well. So whatever, I totally understand it. I mean, it's kind of that time in his life to, I think, move on, I guess. I guess that's the choice he's made, and whatever makes them happy, I guess, is all that really matters.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, family is definitely important.
Absolutely.
And I guess keeping with the subject with cup drivers, have you had any conversations with any other cup drivers before?
I would say there's been a few others, but a couple that stand out is with Ross Chastain. He's been really good to me, and I've met him a couple times now over the past couple of years. Even this weekend racing against him was pretty fun, and talking to him a little bit before the race, I kind of asked him what do I have to expect here. My first lap will be green flag, so I kind of laughed and just said you'll be all right. You've done it before, so he's definitely been one I've talked to and kind of lean on for some advice whenever I need it, and I really appreciate that from him.
Speaking of Chastain, what did you think of that infamous moment last year at Martinsville, his wall ride?
Pretty impressive. I mean, it's really impressive. I never would have thought of it, and I don't think anybody else would have thought of it or ever dreamed of doing it or thought it would have worked. So, that's what I like about him is he's willing to do anything, and obviously it worked out. So, I mean, it put him in a Phoenix.
Awesome, yeah. So I guess so coming up this season, what would you say is your like the moment of this season, like with your race team, like when do you think you guys should like peak the most during the season? Like, do you think the summer stretch is most important, or the fall, or just starting out really good?
Yeah, I think just trying to build each and every race is important right now. I think we're all still really new with each other, new to the race car, new crew chief, new team, new teammates. So a lot of really big things to keep learning. I think when we start going back to these racetracks for the second time, will be really, really big improvements for us. So probably those summer months is when I hope that we're peaking for sure. But like I said, I think just going back to these tracks for a second time in the same car will be really crucial. So whenever that starts happening here in maybe a couple months, but even the schedule coming up, I look forward to racing at Las Vegas, Phoenix, the new Atlanta, COTA. I think Richmond's right after that. So that's a really good stretch of races for me. So I feel like we can kind of continue to grow and hopefully knock down some really good finishes here coming up.
Yeah, I mentioned the racetracks earlier that you've never raced at before. Are you doing like some sim time before to prepare for those races?
Yeah, so I try to hop on iRacing as much as I can. Just try to look at the visual aspect of everything. And as far as preparing for the races, I do a lot of in-car camera watching, kind of go on YouTube, look up some of the previous races from there, as well as look at any data that's available to me. So just trying to be as best prepared for the weekend as possible. Obviously, it's a lot different when you're doing it at 190 miles an hour. But you know, like I said, I think if there's just certain things I look for when I'm watching those videos, whether it's lift points or just visual aspects of the racetrack, and then getting out and doing it and kind of feeling it is a whole other aspect of just working up to it and being smart, aggressive, but also cautious. So there's a whole lot of things that go into it, but I think just my mental prep work throughout the week is kind of what's important to me right now.
You know, your one teammate from last year, when you were at Our Motorsports, Anthony Alfredo is really big on iRacing. I guess did he help you at all with that aspect of the outside before the going to races help you prepare like in the iRacing area and the simulation, all that?
Yeah, so he's really big into it. He does a lot of racing leagues and stuff like that. It seems like he's pretty good according to his social media. So I'm definitely nowhere near that level on iRacing. I do it a lot more for fun on the weekends, and then as well as just kind of like I said, just that prep work. So I don't even necessarily race as much. It's more of just practice sessions of even going slow and trying to figure everything out, looking at the different aspects of the racetrack, and then working my way up to speed and trying different things. Obviously, there you have a little bit of a clutch with that reset button. Sometimes you wish you had that in real life, but and then as far as the like YouTube footage, the in-car camera, the SMT, that's something I've kind of started doing since I started racing back here. During that COVID year of racing, there was no practice at all, so that was something I really leaned on heavily. And so even going to Fontana this weekend, even though we had no practice, no nothing, it kind of seemed somewhat familiar because that's kind of how I got my start in NASCAR back here, was no practice, no qualifying, just kind of drop the green flag and let it happen. So I wasn't too nervous going into it, and I guess that was a nice thing.
Yeah, I guess like speaking of that time where the COVID pandemic happened, how was that, or like what was it like during that time period when you're new to the sport and you don't have practice or qualifying before races, and you're just expected to, at the green flag drops, you're expected to know everything and like know how your car feels and all that. So like go like how was that time period for you?
You know, it was something I had never done before. I'm used to practicing all night Friday nights and then going and practicing again Saturday morning and qualifying Saturday afternoon and racing Saturday nights. That's just kind of your typical short track schedule. So it was a big learning experience for sure, just to be able to really go out there with 38 other guys that you've never really met before or driven with, and a track you've never been in, a car you've never been in. It was difficult. I mean, I won't lead you wrong there. It definitely wasn't easy. That's where I really had to start focusing on that prep work the week before, just so I could have every little advantage as possible for myself going into these racetracks. And even last year, I think with the 20-minute practice session, it helps, but you know, it's still very difficult. 20 minutes isn't very long. You really only probably have one shot at making an adjustment to your car, and the rest of the time you're just trying to make laps and trying to figure everything out and figure out where bumps are and figure out the line and so many different things all at once. And plus the track is crowded. There's 38 other guys out there that are all trying to do the same thing. So I love it when we have 50-minute practice sessions, when we get an extra set of tires in practice, get to try some mock qualifying runs. I really do enjoy that, but we don't get a ton of those right now. So, I mean, we make everything we can work out of those 20 minutes, and just try to be smart qualifying. And that's first stage one is still usually used kind of as a practice session and see how the car is and see what changes we can make, and then hopefully go racing from there on towards the checkered flag.
Yeah, definitely. And then obviously the truck and Xfinity cars race different. So which racing style of both cars do you enjoy more? Like fits your racing style more, truck or Xfinity?
Yeah, they definitely drive a lot different. It was something I wasn't really expecting last year going in the truck, is how much different they would drive. I remember joking with some friends. Like I said, Lawless Allen, Dean Thompson was kind of all our first years in the truck series, and going to Daytona, I thought I would be okay having ran the Xfinity race there, I think once or twice by then. And it was a handful. I wasn't quite expecting that. And I felt like getting to some of those intermediate tracks, there's a lot more aero dependency in the truck series. And so even going to the shorter tracks, it seems like there's more horsepower in the cars in the Xfinity car, and that translates to the rest of the racetracks as well. So that's something I enjoy. I enjoyed the truck series, but I think I would probably lean towards the Xfinity style of racing. The less downforce, the car moves around a little bit more, and racing with those guys has seemed to fit my racing style a little bit better.
And then Cup's a different animal as well because of all the shifting and stuff. So, have you or would you like want to like what would you want to experience or like with that? Would you want to experience like I'm trying to think of the question now. Like, what would be like to like experience that car like one day? Like, would you like want to or my question is bad. What, or like, what? What would you want to get into that?
Yeah, no, I think everybody wants to get into the Cup Series, obviously. That's kind of our lifelong dream is to make it there. And now it's completely different with that new car. So I think everybody, when they get there, it's something that they're not expecting. It used to probably be a little bit more similar to the Xfinity car, with the higher horsepower, and then they took that away, and then it probably went a little bit more towards the truck style racing with the bigger spoilers and more downforce and less horsepower. And now there's a whole new car, a whole new chassis, something that those teams are still trying to figure out to this day. So it's kind of just a wild card. I mean, I think you get there, if you like it, great. If you don't, figure it out. It's what you want to do. It's what you've been trying to do your whole career, your whole life. So, we're race car drivers. We want to race anything and everything we can. And it doesn't matter what kind of car it is, as long as if it has four wheels and a motor, I'm happy.
Definitely, yeah. And then I heard the news there's gonna be they're changing from five lug nuts to one next season for Xfinity. What are your opinions of that, I guess?
Yeah, it doesn't shock me. I think as the years go, I think you'll see a lot more parts and pieces of the new car translate, trickle down through the series. And it seems like that's kind of the first thing that NASCAR is introducing to the Xfinity series. I don't know if they said that they're doing that to the truck series or not, but I would assume that they're not too far behind either.
Definitely, yeah. And then the one track you're going to later this year, I mentioned earlier, Portland. Last year, it was mostly raining the whole race. So have you experienced a rain race before?
So last year at Mid-Ohio, in the truck series, we practiced in the rain, qualified in the rain. We ended up racing the following day in sunshine, which was nice. But I did race the ARCA race the previous day in the pouring down rain. And it was definitely an experience, I'll tell you that. Something I'd never done before. I never really raced in the rain in go-karts or anything like that. So that was really my first time doing it. And now that they've introduced the rain package for these short tracks too, I think seeing whenever that does come true and it happens eventually, I think it'll be interesting to watch, and it'll be something completely new that everybody has to learn. But at least we're all kind of in the same boat, and we'll just have to see how it goes, play it by ear.
And then throughout the last couple of years, like the beginning of your career, you've rotated between teams. Like you started with Auer Motorsports and Xfinity, then changed to SR7 last year, and then for most of the season, then got to Auer Motorsports again, and now this year at SS Greenlight. So what was it like just rotating between each teams like in that short period of time?
Yeah, it's different. Like you work with different people each and every week. Obviously, making my first handful of starts in the Xfinity series that first year with Auer Motorsports was great. And when I had the opportunity to go back there last year and run some more races, I jumped on it. Really enjoyed working with those guys over there. And last year, I think a big goal of mine was to be full time, and that opportunity came with CR7, and I learned a lot, going a lot of new racetracks. Like I said, I think there was 22 different racetracks. I probably went to 18 or 19 of them were brand new for me. So even this year, I think you said seven. I think that was the number that I still got to go to that are new racetracks of mine. But that number is a lot lower now, so I like that. And hopefully eventually that number will be zero and I'll be able to start going to these racetracks with a little bit more confidence and a little bit more experience.
Awesome, definitely. And then trying to think of any other questions. I guess your time with in the ARCA series as well. I forget in the top of my head what teams you were in, but what was the experience like in the lower division, like right before going up to Truck and Xfinity with the ARCA series?
Yeah, so I started in the Can-Am West Series with Steve Portnoy Racing for 2 years. I don't remember the years, but it was somewhere around 2016, and that was really fun. I mean, it was good racing. I was racing against guys like Riley Herbst and Noah Gragson and Todd Gillen every week. So I, like I said, there's just more guys that I've grown up racing against. And going back to the now changed to ARCA West, and I think it was 2020 with Sunrise Ford was a really good time as well. So I had known those guys for a long time. Being able to drive their cars was really a really good experience for me. I think their cars are kind of synonymous with the West Coast, and being able to win some races with them and compete for a championship with them was a really good time, and it really led to this opportunity out here on the East Coast. So really appreciate that opportunity there as well.
Yeah, pulling up your stats. You had three wins in the ARCA Menards West. So what was that experience like? And you've only did 11 races that season. So what was that experience like, to get on the map there?
Yeah, you know, it was really cool being able to get three poles that year, win three races. Like you said, in 11 starts was a really good year for us. One of the better years for the team over the past few years as well. So I know that they just won the championship. So I was really happy for them to see that, especially with them kind of changing ownership now. So really happy for the Brancatis to get that done last year. And but like you said, just winning those races, it always feels good as a race car driver to know you're doing your job right when you're winning races and everybody has a good time when that's happening. So I think our first win came on a road course out in Utah, and then shortly after we followed up with back-to-back wins on the same weekend up in Evergreen Speedway and Roseburg Speedway. So that was a really good time, and hopefully we can get back to that winning style here shortly.
Awesome, definitely. So, did you see the clip of the YouTube clip or whatever of Sheldon Creed's spin and save, like barely missing the wall? Oh, he's a California boy too, and like he barely missed it. So, speaking of like car control, do you prefer a more loose or tight car? I know everyone would prefer a neutral, but if your car can't be neutral at the moment, would you prefer racing like a loose or tight style?
I would say I would rather be on the loose side. Loose on entry is the one thing you kind of want to avoid, but it's hard to do that, especially if the speeds are going at these racetracks. So it's kind of something everybody fights with. And then while you're fighting with that, you're really hurting your center and your exit. So I think you want to be on the free side, free as fast as what everybody says. And so as long as if you can control it and keep it out of the wall, that's all that matters, I think. Seeing that save by Sheldon was pretty incredible this weekend. I'm sure he was really thankful that there was a long ways to that backstretch wall, but he was heading at it pretty quickly. So I'm sure he was really happy to have every inch possible to keep it out of the wall there.
Yeah, definitely. Like when I was watching that live, he was like going so fast, and I thought for sure he was gonna hit the wall, and he barely escaped it with like the rear end. So that was just a wild save. Have you had like any like wild saves you can think of that you had in the past?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a few, but I know last year at Kansas, we kind of got spun out off turn two and we ended up doing a whole 360 and kept going, and it stayed under green, which was unfortunate. So that didn't really go according to plan. We ended up having to pit for tires and lost a lap or two or something like that. But I would say it was a good save. It just, I wish there was a caution for it for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Harvick, he had a he spun in 02 at Chicagoland, but then won the race. So how cool for it for you in the future if you ever had a spin and win, how like being like going through the adversity of the spin and then persevering for the win, how cool would that be if you did that one day?
Yeah, I mean, I think that just shows that you're never out of it. You can never give up. I mean, you never know how these races are going to go and where you might find yourself at the end of them. So, I mean, last year, the end of Daytona, in the Xfinity car, the summer race, we were running inside the top, I would say 10 for sure. There was a lot of wrecks towards the end of that race, and we kind of missed most of them. And we ended up spinning towards the infield and got stuck in some mud, which was unfortunate, but I think had we been able to get out of that, we would have definitely competed for the win there. And like you said, just kind of trying to keep your race alive is important, because you never really know what can happen. And we were really close. We were a couple of feet away from being out of that mud, but unfortunately it wasn't quite on our side, and had to sit there for a lap and wait to get pushed out.
Yeah, definitely. And then I mentioned earlier about Ron Hornaday and the program you're in with him. How often do you speak with him, like in a weekly basis and all that?
I would say it's pretty weekly, maybe every other week. We talk, have a good time. That's the good thing about Ron. You're always having a good time when you're talking to him. He's pretty awesome. He comes to a few races a year. He was at Daytona, seeing some photos with him, just laughing and having a good time and talking about things. And when it comes to being serious, he's extremely serious as well, and he understands what it takes to win at this level. And so just trying to use all his knowledge there as well is always extremely important, but also having that kind of fun side to him and you can just kind of talk to whenever or whatever about it is also really nice to have.
And who are the other drivers in that program you can think of?
I don't know the exact number at this moment, but I know a couple others would be Landon Lewis, Carson Brown. I'm Luke Moore, a few others for sure. I'm forgetting, but Candace would definitely have the answer on that.
Yeah, definitely. So do you, I guess because I think you're older than most of those, so are do you give them some mentorship for them?
Yeah, I try to do my best in that aspect. A lot of them are newer to the late model scene, and that's kind of what I really enjoy is that short track racing, late models, super late models, your local short track. And so I enjoy going out, watching their races and supporting them as much as I can. My phone's always open to them. They always know that too, with any questions and stuff like that. But they're all pretty good themselves too. So I think they all have an idea on what they're doing, and they're doing pretty good themselves.
Awesome. So we're going to wrap this up with some fun questions now.
Oh boy.
So the first one is bone-in or boneless wings?
I'll give you another answer. I would say no wings. I'm not a really big wings guy. If we're going to someplace that gives wings, I'm more of a chicken tenders guy. So, if I had to, I would say boneless.
Okay. And boneless is similar to chicken tenders as well, because
Exactly.
yeah. What type of sauce do you like to dip them with?
I would say ranch.
Yeah, that's a go-to.
Yeah.
Next one, favorite ice cream flavor, if you like ice cream.
Yep. Mint chocolate chip would probably be my favorite since I was a little kid, and I don't eat it a lot anymore, but when I do, I definitely enjoy it.
Yeah, it's definitely a go-to as well. So favorite music genre, and then who's your favorite artist and song from that genre?
This is a question I get a lot, and I gotta get a better answer for this because I don't really know. I listen to just kind of a lot of radio music. I don't necessarily pay attention to who sings the song or what genre it is. I enjoy all kind of different types of music other than country, which usually gets me in a little bit of trouble, especially out here in North Carolina. But That's really just not my style. I've gotten used to learning to listen to it over the past few years, at being at a racetrack and race shops. That's all you really hear back here. So, but as far as a certain genre or song in particular, I really can't give you one.
All good there. So, speaking of like the music area, do you have a past with like, do you know how to play any instruments?
Yeah, so back in elementary school, we all had to do band for 2 years. I ended up playing the clarinet. So yeah, I don't remember how to play at all. I can't play it anymore, but that is what I used to play, correct?
Awesome. And you said, when did you say you started with that? Like elementary, like what grade? Like,
I think it was 6th and 8th grade is when we had band.
okay. Was it marching band or is it just like concert band and all that?
Just like a more of a concert style.
Okay. And then what is your midnight snack craving?
I would say go-to is Cheez-Its. I enjoy Cheez-Its for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely a go-to. I had that last night as well. So
Nice.
that's definitely a go-to. So before we wrap this up, people at or everyone at the Pit Pass Network likes to donate to a charity. So is there a charity you want to mention for us that we would donate to?
Yeah, you know, that's really cool. That's something I've never really been asked before. There's a foundation that I do support, the Warrior Health Foundation. I've had them on the card a few years now. And so any way you guys can support that, that's huge. I think just trying to, there's a lot of great charities out there, but that's something that I've grown close to. I know the owner, Sean, pretty well now, met him a few times, and it's really based on just our SEAL members and them coming back to the United States and transitioning back to normal lifestyles. So that's something I'm really big in, and will continue to support over the coming years.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely love to give back to you guys and like the foundation. So, but anyways, thanks for joining us, Blaine. Wish you the best of luck this weekend in Las Vegas and the races to come and the years to come. It's definitely a great honor for me to interview you today, and thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it. And hopefully we get to do this again someday.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, have a good one.